Well, good morning. We have a number of people that are visiting with us. I can't tell you how blessed we are to have you here. You're our honored guest. You get to stick around for a few minutes afterwards. We certainly would love the opportunity to get to know you a little bit better. As we say, our goal is simply to get to heaven. And if you can help us, we would love that. And if we can help you, if you have any questions, please make sure that you ask. But it is a privilege to be able to worship the Almighty God with you this morning. Last week, Tyler talked about Luke, the 19th chapter with Zacchaeus, and he was talking about how many of us think about ourselves being the sycamore tree. Now, I hadn't thought about that before. I appreciated that. The fact that you're lifting up someone for them to be able to see Jesus. And we were talking about how the scriptures talk about trees, and certainly Tyler brought up many of verses that do. And afterwards, we were talking about some other places where this happens. And I was thinking about 2 Samuel, the 18th chapter, and verse 9. What happens if you're a great oak? What happens if you're a great oak and somebody with beautiful hair, flowing, long hair, is riding their donkey, and their hair gets caught in your branches? And you just hold them there until somebody comes and kills them, in the story of Absalom. You know what the sad reality of that is? That happens spiritually. What I want to talk about this morning is the understanding of being a family, how we talk to one another, how we associate with one another, how we view one another. I appreciate the songs that were led. Angry Words is a beautiful song, but it has an important meaning to it. When our Savior tells us to love one another, that's not an opinion. He actually wants you to love one another. And so this morning, as we go through this, please understand, there may be some who think that I'm talking to them. I am talking to you. Because that's part of the issue that we're going to be talking about this morning. You know, it's interesting when you think about children, we understand this part very, very well. Sibling rivalry. If we're a family, guess where else that happens? You know, my brother and I, when we get together, not much my sister, but my brother and I, when we get together, it always turns into a competition. Always. Basketball, well, not as much of a competition. But even if we're standing around or sitting around at my parents' house, tossing a ball to one another, guess what happens? First one that drops it out. Every time. Competition. Now, that's fun. If you win, that's fun. But you know what's not a competition? My spiritual relationship with Him, or our spiritual relationships with one another. I have seen where congregations struggle with this mightily. I've seen where congregations at other places struggle with other congregations because of it. Guess what? We're all on the same team. We're on the same body. Jealousy is a dangerous thing in the Lord's church, not because of the Lord's church, but because of Satan and his desire to get in. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, if you turn over there with me, Paul begins this chapter by saying this. He says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And he goes on from there. I'll just stop in verse 3. In verse 2, some of your versions will actually use the word tolerate one another. Forbearance for one another. I'm all about forbearance if it means you have to forbear me. I'm not as big on tolerance if I have to do that to you. You see the problem with that? It's so often that we strive to have unity, but in the case of forgiveness, as an example, we talk about this one a lot, and there's a reason for it. If you have to forgive me, I'm all for having to forgive one another. If I have to forgive you, we'll have a few conversations about that. I'm going to have to think about it. That's the problem. How do we unify with one another? How do we have humility and gentleness and patience, showing forbearance to one another in what? Love. That we're unified. We're not talking about doctrine, by the way. There's an opportunity for us to grow and to have conversations and do those things. I'm not talking about tolerating sin. We're talking about tolerating one another. I think we all understand that. It's interesting, and the danger that comes with this as we go forward is the idea that was mentioned in Galatians, the fifth chapter that was just read to us. What happens when you bite and devour one another? Sheep on sheep violence. What happens then? What happens when the sheep, when we decide that we're going to turn on one another? What does he say happens? You'll consume one another. What happens when you bite and devour one another? What happens in Philippians, the fourth chapter, when Paul has to mention people by name, these two ladies by name, live in harmony? He says, that's awkward when that's being read. If you're sitting in the pew in Philippi. What about us? You know what else it goes on to say? Both of those were hardworking women. They were laborers. They were working. What about us? In the spirit of gentleness, he goes on in chapter 6 and talks about. That you help one another in gentleness. Forbearing one another, as we just read. With gentleness. Again, if you need to show me gentleness, I'm all for that. The opposite, that's where we struggle sometimes. Back over in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We will use these passages when it talks about the influence when it comes to our relationship with our spouse. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Guess what the context is not? Your spouse. Does it include that? Absolutely. Do not let the sun go down on your anger with one another. How do you do that? Do not give the devil an opportunity. How do we do that? In verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such as word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. The influence that you and I have on one another, good or bad. You know what the amazing thing about this is? There are people who allow other people to figure out or to control their attitude towards things. You give somebody that control. I will tell you this now. If there's somebody here that has an issue with me, I have no idea. And if you think I look at you as though I do know, that's just my look. I have no idea. That's what we do. Oh, they looked at me wrong. I can feel them looking across at me. Their eyes are open. If they look, that's probably where they're looking. But that's our perception. That's what we do. That's our point of view. That's what happens. They did that on purpose. What are we doing? Wait, five? That's the amazing piece of this. That we understand it with young people, with children. And guess who does the exact same thing, potentially? Us. The influence that you and I have on people is so powerful, especially amongst one another. It is an amazing thing to me. When somebody is struggling with something, I will put it this way, we are really good at shooting our wounded. When somebody's struggling with something, how I react to that and what we say is very important. To the point in James, the third chapter, when he talks about the tongue. How you talk to one another. What we say to one another. Do we take the time to think about what we are saying? In James, the third chapter, obviously, if you're not familiar with these verses, you should be. In verse 3, he says, "Now if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Behold, the ships also, though they are great and are driven by strong winds, are also directed by a very small rudder. Wherever the inclination of the pilot desires, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, and the very word of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of life and is set on fire by hell." And he continues on. We have got to be careful about what we say. You can take that to anything. You have got to learn to reread the post you write before you hit submit or post. Who is going to see this? Whatever it is. How is this worded? Before you send a text, I call it electronic muscles. There's a lot of big people that'll write a lot of things unless you're standing in front of them. Think about what you are saying. For various reasons. But certainly when we're talking about this, how we treat one another, how we talk to one another, whether or not we give people the benefit of the doubt when it comes to being a family. There's way too often, I think people think you're playing Clue. Ted Davis. Auditorium rope did it. Right? That's what we think you're doing. But not only that, I know your motive. I know why you did it. I know why. So, first of all, you don't. But secondly, so what? That's the struggle. So often. That's what happens when David goes and he's just trying to get to his brothers where his dad told him. And what does his brother say? "I know why you're here. I know your heart and the evil intentions of it." You know who else knew his heart? God knew his heart. Who was right? God knew it. It is an amazing thing to me. When it comes down to how people will treat one another, we talk about this so often. You are not going to live across the street in heaven, or across the neighborhood, or across the river. You can live across the street in hell, or across the neighborhood. But just because you don't want to talk to somebody, you're not living on opposite sides. That's not the way it works. People, and this isn't an issue here, by the way, if you're visiting, this is called maintenance conversation. But you can have somebody sitting over here on this side and somebody sitting over on here on this side and never want to talk to each other, speak to one another. And you both think you're going to heaven? God bless you. And you know, the amazing thing is, this person can think it's this person's fault, and guess who this person thinks it? Their fault. It's both your faults at that point. That's the hard part of this. When we begin to compare ourselves to one another, the whole purpose of anything that we do here is to bring glory to the Almighty God. In 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, "For we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding." Tyler and I were talking about that. He brought up that verse. That's a very powerful verse. When you compare yourselves to other people, what difference does that make? The way that I would put it, if you're the valedictorian at West Mason, so what? What does that mean? If you're comparing yourself to other people, you're missing the whole point. In 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, and in verse 12, he puts it this way. He says, "We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, that we may have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart." You can be the best. You know what I think that is? That's your temptation. Arrogance. There's a reason why the scriptures talk so much about humility. We struggle with it. That's a problem that we all have to understand and to pray for, pray about, pray for one another. If you're not tempted by something, good. You're tempted by something else. You know, I used to struggle with that. When I see somebody who was tempted by something, I could not figure out why they could not just stop. And then I struggle with my own sin. Maybe I can figure that out. Maybe I do understand. It's just not the same thing. Not the same temptation. It's amazing what Satan knows. He knows what tempts you. And he knows what tempts me. Help one another. Have patience with one another. And understand when 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, as we say, is not just a verse to be read at a wedding. This love in the midst of this conversation that the Corinthians were struggling with, of truly loving one another, is still an issue for us today. In verse 4, he says, "Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." Love is patient unless I have to be the one with the patience. That's not what it says. Love is kind unless you do something to me and then therefore I'm not going to be kind. We understand that. It's not jealous unless somebody moves in here that's a better preacher than I am. Then it's jealous. That's not the point. That's not the point. I pray somebody moves in here better. We all have that opportunity because it's better for the kingdom of God. That's what this is all about. I know preachers that are jealous of other places. I know. Is that from God? No. When you hear of congregations that are doing well, you know what you need to do? Excel still the more. Keep going. Save other souls. That's what it's all about. When you see somebody here that's doing well, what do? We rejoice with them. If they're struggling, what do? Laugh and point. Weep with them, the scriptures say. It's the attitude that we are to have for one another. If somebody stumbles, what does 1 Corinthians 13 say? Ha ha. Gotcha. I was waiting for you to fall. No. Do not rejoice in unrighteousness. Help them. Be very careful when you try to figure out somebody else's motive for something. Because that same judgment that you were giving to somebody else is what we're going to be judged by. A lot of times, and Brian and I will talk about this, a lot of times that just means that's my motivation. That's what I would do if I was in that situation. That's dangerous on many levels. This is going to be a shock to many people. There's just times people make mistakes. Believe it or not. Sometimes people just make a mistake. I was on the assignment sheet to do the invitation. I do that all the time. Why would I be on the assignment sheet? Because I signed up to do the invitation. That's why I'm on the assignment sheet. Not because of Ben. See, we can do a lot of different things and blame a lot of different people. What's the purpose? And this is where this becomes important to me. In 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and this is a verse that I will talk about all the time. This passage, to me, is one of the hardest ones. This is a passage that I'm continuing to try to grow in, I'll put it that way. Here he's specifically talking about these lawsuits that were going on amongst the brethren. But the principle, to me, is just so powerful. In verse 7, he says, "Actually then, it is already a defeat for you, that you have lawsuits with one another. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? On the contrary, you yourselves wrong and defraud, and that your brethren." And then he goes into these verses that we all know. "Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." We talk about those verses. Why does verse 7 lead up to that, though? Not because it's before 8. Why does he talk about that before then? Why not just be wronged? You know what the answer to that is? And you do. I don't want to be wronged. Somebody did something to me, and they're going to have to pay for it. Why not just be wronged? You've been set apart. You've been sanctified. You're different. Why not just be wronged? Because I don't want to be. Why not just be defrauded? I don't want to be. Scott, if somebody does me wrong, they're going to know they can do that all the time and just walk all over me. Have you read the Bible? No, it's not true. There's other passages that talk about that. How you handle those situations, especially if it's a brother in Christ. We know how to handle that. We're always in this what-if game. But even more importantly than that, if that doesn't show you that my goal is not to glorify God, I don't know what does. My goal, our goal, should be to glorify God. Ultimately, the question is, are we truly rooted in love? Are you rooted in love? That sounds so nice. Jesus would put it this way. Look, you can love your neighbors. Guess who else does that? The Gentiles, so. They love their family. They love their friends. That's nothing new. I say love your enemies. Love your enemies. So even if you view one of your brothers or sisters in Christ as an enemy, guess what Jesus says? Love them. Love them. Go talk to them. I know that's not easy, but I had zero problems doing that with my own physical brother. And he has no problem doing it to me. That's the family. We're family. And if we go and talk to one another, be compassionate, be gentle, both in giving the information and in receiving the information. That the desire is to help one another get to heaven. And that's it. It's simple to stand up here and talk about the happy things. And what I can say about that is, happily, we're at peace at West Mason. And we can continue to be at peace at West Mason if we all continue to strive to do what is right. If we all continue to glorify the Almighty God. But it only takes two people. One to start it, and one to continue it. If one person starts it, and the next person that they tell stops it, it's not an issue. That's where that tongue piece comes into play. If somebody tells you something that you have no business knowing, tell them, don't tell anybody. Don't say, wow, you should not have told me that. I'm going to tell 12 people. You stop it. But listen, if you know people that struggle with gossip, then guess who else they gossip about? Just keep that in mind. If you're in a great encourager, I encourage you to continue on. Keep encouraging one another. If you're a great complainer, stop. That's my encouragement to you. Stop. We have a tremendous opportunity to call ourselves children of God. We are blessed. And we cannot allow Satan an inch. We got to keep going. If you are not a child of God, why not? The blessings of being a child of God are just, they're awesome. I use that word a lot. That actually fits there. They're awesome. But I can't explain that any more than that. If you believe that there is a creator, that's where it ultimately comes down to. If you believe that there is a creator, and that creator was willing to send his son to die for you, and you still say that you believe in him, I encourage you maybe to follow and do what he says. The question is, do you believe? Are you willing to repent of the sins that you have committed? He died for you. He died for me. To confess him as the Son of God that he is Lord. Be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins. Now's the time. Don't wait. If you haven't been living the life, he's patient. He's given us this time right now to get our lives right with him. Take advantage of it. Do not leave here if there's something that we can do for you. There's no reason for anyone to leave here not right with him. If you have questions, ask. If there's things that we talked about that steps on your toes, fix it. I don't apologize for that. Because I step on my own. Fix it. And let's keep going. If there's anything we can do for you now, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.